a couple, a Catholic couple, who has chosen to sterilize the wife by tubal ligation. It depends on who wants the answer. First of all, as you know, tubal ligation is one form of sterilization. Sterilization, direct sterilization, intended to prevent conception, is a sin. Post factum, once the sterilization has taken place, it may or may not be reversible. If it can be reversed, I always encourage people to do whatever they can to reverse the sterilization. Am I clear? But now, if they already, in other words, there has been a tubal ligation, and therefore conception is out of the question. If it is medically impossible to reverse the sterilization, that couple may, of course, in fact, by all means, have marital intercourse. The obvious thing is to contrast the sin of, well, being sterilized to avoid conception. But then, if an honest effort has been made to reverse the sterilization, may the couple have marital relations, by all means. In fact, encouraged. It would be a mistake, I repeat, it would be a grave mistake on either side to believe that I will now, or we will now expiate our, well, induced sterilization by avoiding marital relations. Am I clear? Thank you for the question. Is it a mortal sin to put yourself in a serious occasion of sin? Well, to answer this question, I have to reword it. Is it a mortal sin to put yourself into the occasion of serious sin? In other words, if I know that something is a temptation to a mortal sin for me, am I obliged to avoid that source of temptation? Of course. So, but it's a mortal sin, even if I am sure, I know either from experience or from common sense, that under this circumstance, I would be tempted to commit a mortal sin and would give in. The temptation does not make it a sin. It is the awareness beforehand that I would not be able to resist. Did the Blessed Mother abandon all hope in becoming the mother of the Messiah when she offered herself to God in the temple? Oh, no. Mary did not only not abandon all hope, she did not abandon any hope. So, remember, when you offer yourself to God, so far abandoning hope, that's the surest way of expecting your dearest hope to be fulfilled. All you have to do is give yourself entirely to God. And then, no matter what you hope for, you'll get it. Honest. It's true. How can a lay person encourage and or inspire a pastor to enrich the parish? Faith, life. How can a lay person? Oh, I mean this with all my heart. Your faith is indispensable for strengthening my faith. One reason, by the way, that I do this lecturing on Friday, leaving for Peoria for a week, from Peoria to Dallas, coming back then, well, in about 3 weeks. Because I find that those whom I speak to, listening and putting into practice, not what I'm teaching, but what Christ has told us is true, that strengthens my faith. There is nothing which a priest needs, what a statement. There is nothing which a priest needs more than the encouragement of the people, of the lay faithful. Your faith keeps our priestly faith alive. I mean this. And of course, the more heroic your faith, the more you strengthen ours. Thanks for being here. If we are to pray directly to God through Jesus, why do we invoke the intercession of Mary or the saints, and I would add, or the angels? Because, pardon me,
getting back feedback, Father.
Because Christ. Because Christ wants us to. Let me ask some questions. Was Jesus Christ to God?
Yes.
Could Jesus Christ work miracles?
Yes.
Could he work miracles whenever he wanted to? When did Christ work his first miracle? Look, if Christ, am I making sense? If Christ himself wanted to, he wanted to. Be asked by his mother to work his first miracle. He sure wants us to ask his mother for the graces we need from him, but hear it. Through her. There are three prepositions that are most important in Catholic theology. The other prepositions, from, through, and to. All grace comes from God. Comes in the God-man, Jesus Christ. All grace comes through Mary. All grace comes to us. Except for her, we wouldn't have him, right? And those of us in the business of theology are encouraging the Holy Father, who wants to do it. He wants to, before he enters eternity, this Pope, to declare, as a defined article of faith, Mary's universal mediation of grace. I want to buy a book of canon law. Which one should I purchase? Well, oh, this is delightful. As you know, there's only one authentic canon law. However, for the first time in the Church's history, the present Holy Father not just allowed, but ordered that the Code of Canon Law be translated from Latin into the vernacular languages. Now, we have, therefore, the Canon Law, the Code of Canon Law, in English. As you probably know, released by the present Holy Father on the first Sunday of Advent in 1983. However, there are two translations in English of the Code of Canon Law. Listen. One for the United States and the other for the whole rest of the world. Whatever else they know in Rome, they know that America is a very individualist country. 200 million individualists. That's us. Now, I have both. The American text is both Latin on the left side and English on the other. And it's published by the United States Catholic Conference in Washington. And the price is reasonable. I think it's something like $15. Listen to this. The American publisher for the English Code of Canon Law, but no Latin on the left side, is published by the Protestants in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Isn't that something? When I came back from Texas, I bring copies of both Codes of Canon Law. Every Catholic should have a copy of the Code of Canon Law. Briefly explain the cause of Eastern schism and dates. First of all, as you know, the Eastern schism means the break with the Roman Catholic Church by the Christians in, well, Eastern Europe and beyond. Those who provoked the Eastern schism now call themselves the Orthodox. There are many forms of Orthodoxy. Russian, of course, Orthodoxy is very large. What was the cause? The main cause of the Eastern schism was that married people wanted a divorce and remarry. Am I clear? And bishops in Eastern Christianity, already as early as the 7th century, began to, well, encourage this. And one pope after another said, no way. It is the divine will. A sacramental marriage, which is valid and consummated, no human power can divide. That went on for about 600 years. By the middle of the 13th century, 1250 or so, Eastern schism became an established reality. That's the first and main reason. What's the second reason? The priests wanted to marry. In other words, the priests in the Orthodox Church can be ordained as married men. Once they ordain, however, that's it. Now, over the centuries, there have been many breaks among the Orthodox, rejoining the Roman Catholic Church. As a result, among even the Byzantine Catholics, union with Rome, there are those, as you know, who have a married priesthood. You know that. And also, those Anglicans, remember, who wanted to become priests and remain with their wives and families. So, the main reason for the break was that the Orthodox wanted to divorce and remarry. And this is simply established among the Orthodox churches. They are therefore in schism. The Orthodox people have 7 sacraments. They are not heretics, as we commonly call people heretics. And my clock here says 4:38. Suppose I answer one more question. For us who are very serious to carry on the lay apostolate, can we receive further training? Yes. Thank you. I've opened up the gates, because the Holy See wants me to do this. So, when I return, as I repeat, in early March, then, as far as my time will allow, the Lord, as you can imagine, has not left me loaf. But we will, with God's grace, share with you, not necessarily during class, but ways in which, I repeat, the Holy Father wants the laity to be trained in a country like ours to engage in the apostolate. The answer is yes. And shall we then pray and then have Mass as soon as we can get to the chapel upstairs? Remember what I said, however. If there are too many for the Mass at 4:45, then the decision was to go back upstairs to the classrooms, one of the classrooms, remember? And I understand there's an altar upstairs. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our
death. Amen. Mary, Queen of the Apostles,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That was my question.
I'm going to go.